Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks, his website rickackerman.com. Welcome back to the show and Happy New Year, Rick.
Well, Happy New Year to you, Jim, and as always, a pleasure to be here with you today.
Amazon announcing it's going to lay off 18,000 people. They already told us that their plans for mega distribution centers were being put on hold. So was this expected?
Yeah, this hit 3 months ago, or 3 or 4 months ago. Amazon, clear as a bell, said, hey, look, we're not only scaling back our ambitious warehouse growth plan, but we're actually going to close a few. So here, back in, let's call it August or July, we were getting reports from probably the smartest retail operator on the planet that says we're reefing the sails here. So you had your warning quite some time ago, and now there's the reality of it. And of course, when you play it forward, of course, into this debate we're still having about whether we're in recession or not, those 18,000 layoffs are going to be rippling through the economy for I'm going to say months, but that would be the most optimistic scenario I can think of, more like years.
Other tech companies laying off people, especially in San Francisco, what's that going to do to their office space sector, which was already taking a pounding because everybody was working from home or companies had started layoffs?
Yeah, San Francisco was having a huge vacancy problem in the commercial because of COVID, and of course, none of the workers want to come back. And that's even though we've discovered at Twitter that the workers aren't needed to begin with. You know, almost nobody in the digital world is indispensable. So, you know, you've got some very big buildings in San Francisco. One is I always space the name of the company, you know, but they're in the hiring business, and their magnificent tower on the south side, south of Market in San Francisco, just by the 280 approach to the Bay Bridge. It's an amazing building. And I think on one of the upper stories, they have a fabulous atrium that just gives you a bit of the green life in the middle of this cityscape. So it's a great building, but when the anchor tenant, the company that built the building itself, can't occupy it, who else are they going to rent to, especially with so many other tech companies in San Francisco laying off? So I hate to say it. I lived in San Francisco for 22 years, but it's a dying town. And there's a lot of things in the pipeline that haven't even been felt, mainly the convention business. A lot of these conventions book 5 years in advance. So to the extent that they're all canceling they're not coming back to San Francisco. Nobody would dare be walking south of Market on Mission Street after dark. San Francisco is going to be increasingly weighed down by this loss of convention revenues, which of course feeds everybody.
High tech in general, a bad place to be?
Well, and it's been pretty good for them for a long time, but you know, with COVID and Musk take over Twitter, we found out that most of the employees are not only not indispensable, they're absolutely unnecessary. You know, Twitter, as we've discovered, can be run with about 20 people. And that's that may be how many wind up there. They've had a pretty good run. You know, Tucker had a pretty good segment on a show about one woman who worked for, I can't remember whether it was Facebook or one of those companies. And, you know, her daily work day consisted of getting to work sometime around late morning and having her coffee and then going shopping and then spending the afternoon unpacking her shopping bags just to sort of gloat over what she'd bought. So, and there were so many people on the payrolls of these companies at $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 a year, but we're going to find that very few of them were essential personnel. So that's another thing, obviously, that's going to feed into San Francisco's housing market, particularly the bloated piece of it along the southern edge of San Francisco, which was most easily serviced by shuttles going down to Silicon Valley every day. So a lot of the tech layoffs haven't even begun yet, and we're going to find out that that the real economy is not digital. It's very much brick and mortar.
On the brick and mortar side, we're talking about Amazon laying off people and how some companies that relied too much on one product paid the price for it, and you're saying Bed Bath & Beyond going bankrupt, an example of that.
Yeah, and it was interesting. You know, the Journal did a story on Bed Bath & Beyond's likely bankruptcy filing shortly, but it never once mentioned the elephant in the room, which was Mike Lindell. You know, but Bed Bath & Beyond kind of got its dander up with Lindell and his conservative politics, and also Lindell put a lot of money into proving that the fixed 2020 election was fixed. So they broke off their relationship with him, but the MyPillow line of pillows and mattress toppers and sheets and all that was a huge seller for Bed Bath & Beyond, and I think at the margin, that's what took them down. You know, when they broke off their relationship with Lindell, they basically signed their death warrant.
So if you're looking at the stock market right now, what's your reading on it starting the new year?
It's a gift to be able to sell any rally. The only problem is the rallies aren't even going as far as they should go if you assume that they're going to be weaker than normal. So I use a pretty simple ABCD pattern for my hidden pivot method of technical analysis, and you could see that the change in we've had a pretty good bear rally. The market's been in a bear market since last January 4th, so we're exactly a year now into a bear market, and bear markets are always going to have very significant rallies. But when I look at it from a technical standpoint, and these ABCD patterns, the rallies don't quite reach their D targets. And then when the bear rallies correct, when they start overshooting their own ABCD targets, that's telling you that there's been a tone change. So the stock market can't get out of its own way. And my commentary this week basically was saying that if the market started out the year on a what looked like a positive note, you better watch out below, because that was just the sleazeballs who were running the show setting the hook. They were attempting to waft stocks higher so they could get in a good distribution to begin the new year. But you know, what we got was just a wee bit of a rally the other day, and now we're headed back down with a vengeance. But it's not exactly breaking down here. I mean, I've got targets for the E-mini S&Ps that are considerably lower. They're trading now around 3,800, but my first target of significance is 3,600 and change. So that would equate to about a $2,000 point Dow slide, and I think we could go even lower. But you know, the only thing holding up the market right now, holding it aloft, is the urgency on the part of the institutional holders to distribute stock. So they're not really gonna beat this thing down too hard until they've sold as much stock as they can to pensioners and widows.
We'll have more with Rick Ackerman right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rick Ackerman. Will 2023 be the year of the short?
No, I don't think so. There's never a year of the short. And I'm speaking really in terms of duration. You know, when you get short, it's not like you just enjoy the ride down in a bear market. Bear markets will be punctuated by spectacular rallies that are fatal to anyone who's short. And the length of the fatalities list will be directly correlated with the number of people who are sure that everything's going lower. So everybody can be right. We're in a bear market. You make money by shorting it. But actually making money is it's a very tricky thing. And the system that I use is particularly well geared to shorting against to playing against the trend. And even though it's an old trader adage that the trend is your friend, I take the exact opposite approach, that the trend is your enemy, because the trend by definition is something that everybody sees and knows about. And if they're all trying to exploit it with essentially the same strategy, then whatever they're using to do that becomes diabolically evasive. So the counter trend is your friend, really. So it's going to be a brutal market, but we shouldn't kid ourselves that there are a lot of great traders out there, that the trading world is just flush with people who can capitalize on a nasty bear market. It's a very difficult trick.
What's your view on gold and silver?
I love them. And as you know, I've been loving them for quite a while. I was a skeptic for a long time, but again, when you start to see it on the charts, the turn, meaning that the counter trends, the little ABCD corrections, are not reaching their D targets, and the rallies are, or maybe even exceeding their targets, then you're in a good trend. But gold has been, it's been a torture. You know, looking at the March COMEX contract, I've been using a target of March COMEX at 1907. And I've had that target for quite a few weeks. And it'll get there, but it's really been like pulling teeth. It's been as hard on bulls as it has been on bears. But and also, GDXJ is the symbol of a popular ETF vehicle that's used to play the exploration stocks, the gold miners, or what they call junior gold miners. And I've had a target up at $41, like forever. And it's you know, a few steps up and then almost, and then a few steps back, and it seems to take forever for it to make headway. But it is. And my target, long-standing target, GDXJ, has been 41, currently trading 37.56. It's getting whomped today, down almost 3%, which is a pretty substantial move. But it is corrective, and I think that gold and silver are really on their way to much higher prices.
On the energy front, people were worried that Europe might have a record cold winter. Instead, they're having record high temperatures, 75 degrees Fahrenheit, 25 degrees Celsius. People are suntanning in France. Has that blown a hole in people who thought that natural gas would be the place to be, especially in Europe?
Yeah, natural gas has really come down hard. And you can see, you can just kind of remember the climate of fear around fuel supplies for the winter. My target on natural gas, by the way, this is basis the March NYMEX contract, is $3.08 per whatever a zillion cubic meters, and currently trading at $3.44. So we've got a ways to go before it hits bottom, but that's where I think the bottom will be. But the weather, as always, is not being cooperative with, especially with stock and commodity forecasters. And of course, it's always playing havoc with the terminology we use to describe the imminent destruction of the planet from man-caused warming or cooling or whatever the current fad is. So we no longer have global warming. It's just called climate change, which, as you and I know from our childhood, we used to call that weather.
Well, also, the planet itself goes in cycles. We have usually 100,000 years of ice and 10,000 years of warm. We should just be blessing ourselves we're in the warm period.
Right. And in the geological picture, you know, we're still debating. Well, I think the scientists would say we're coming out of the Pleistocene ice age, you know. So we've got so many things going on. It's almost like saying if you're standing on the Earth somewhere, what's your velocity? And of course, the Earth is circling the sun, and the whole galaxy is within its own swirl of even a larger sphere of ether. So anyway, I can say that we're still having weather down here in Florida, and sometimes it's hot and sometimes it's cold.
Yeah, and in Vancouver, sometimes it's rainy and sometimes it's rainy.
Right. Yeah, I've been there too. I lived in San Francisco for a while, and sometimes it was fogging, and then sometimes it was fogging.
Yeah, well, back in the old days, they called it the Pineapple Express when you got a lot of rain, because the system comes up from Hawaii. But now it's an atmospheric river or a weather bomb. These terms never existed before. It sounds like it's designed to make people scared.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of hyperbole in the weather reports lately, and it's almost like the hacks that invent the news every day. They're just sitting there at the news desk praying for someone to die in a Buffalo snowstorm so they can refer to that storm as a killer storm. Again, it's just we had weather, and the old timers can remember. Back in the 30s and 40s, they had weather then, and sometimes people died, and it's no better or worse than it was.
The Swedes have a saying, there's no such thing as bad weather, just poor clothing choices.
Uh-huh. Well, it's... Anyway, it's playing havoc with the forecasters and natural gas prices. And boy, that it came down. The top on natural gas was up over $8 per whatever it is, zillion cubic meters, and so it's been cut more than in half since July, and that's the way it goes. Don't look for much relief on your heating bill. You know how that goes.
Oh yeah, they're very quick to put the prices up, really slow to bring them down. We see it with gasoline every day.
Yeah, we're at $3.69 here on a Costco premium pump, 93 octane yesterday, which is not bad. Or it feels not bad after you've been paying close to $5 for it for a while.
Sure. And in Vancouver in September, we were paying over $10 a gallon.
Well, I guess you have smaller cars there, though, so that's...
Tell that to all the guys in the small car spaces parking with their big four-wheel drives. What's the outlook, as far as you're concerned, for crude going into this year?
Every time we talk about it, I admit that I don't understand the market for crude. You look at China, and China's the pricing story at the margin. Whatever China's energy needs, that's going to be the crucial variable. And I don't see China's economy as being that robust, although there's always rumors that it's resurgent. I'm not believing them. So I think we're going to see lower crude prices, but that is another very tricky short. Because geopolitical factors can drive crude nuts in short order. And so you don't want to get in its way, and you don't want to think that just because the supply-demand picture for a while looks clear that you should be out there shorting crude. But I think, you know what, as we speak, let me give you a number for crude where I think it could could go here. We're currently at $73.70 a barrel, and that is the middle of a range that we've been in since last spring, with kind of a downward bias. But I think it'll come down to around, this would be a minimum downside target of about, if I can get this thing on my chart to work, about $66 is where I think it's going at a minimum. So that'll be a pretty good, you know, maybe an 8 or 9% decrease from where it is now.
Tesla, one of the most shorted stocks on the market in the past year. Is Tesla going to survive?
Yeah, they always have. They got a little bit ahead of themselves, and I don't know how things are going to pan out for them with the big Chinese plant expansion that they undertook. They definitely want to be doing a lot of business in China, and Tesla will be more dependent on the Chinese, the domestic market there. But the stock seems to have no bottom. It's just amazing the way it's fallen. And, of course, Musk was definitely the richest guy in the world when Tesla was topping up around $413 a share back in last November. But the recent price, it looks like it's going to fall to 100. It's currently trading 109.97, up from a recent low at 105 or so. So they're doing a lot of things right, a lot of things wrong, but the auto market is always kind of fickle. You know, we've just had a report that GM is now number one in sales in the U.S., eking out that win against Toyota. But, you know, what it's taken to get things there is an 8% decline in overall auto sales. So if a crash in auto sales is what's going to help GM, I think we might wish for better.
Well, also, rising interest rates, do you think the Fed's going to put a stop to it, or are they just going to keep going higher until the interest rates are higher than the rate of inflation?
Well, we've talked about that a lot in the past, and I would have thought somewhere around 3.5% on the 10-year would be enough to crush the global economy, to put it into a power dive into a global depression. And I still believe that. I still think that interest rates, real rates, have way overshot their mark. You know, we're still raising rates at a time when asset values are falling. And, of course, the asset values are the underlying collateral for pretty much everything, energy collateral in particular, but real estate collateral, everything else. So here we've got interest rates rising. The consumer inflation is still a distraction. You know, it enables the hacks and morons who invent the news to say, hey, recession's receding, or inflation is receding, or inflation is rising. So here, yeah, they've sort of caught wind of the fact that key components of the inflation index, like used cars and rentals, some of the things, rental units, they don't include some of those things in the statistics because it might screw them up. It might make the interpretation deviate from the narrative. But in any case, we've got inflation. We're still raising rates while the asset base, the collateral, is deflating. And, you know, it's going to leave us with real rates, something like the 2007 and 8 situation where there were so many homeowners who were underwater. Well, they're going to get there again, but it'll happen a lot more, even more precipitously than it did back in 2007 and 8. But we're already in a kamikaze dive. And so the widening gap between, higher nominal rates and lower asset values creates a huge deflationary undertow.
Rick, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
On Rick's Picks, of course. Yeah. RickAckerman.com. If you go to that address, you'll see up in the top there one of the tabs that says free trial. So you can take it two 2-week free trial with Rick's Picks, and I'm going to warrant that, the chat room is, it's really one of the very best in the trading world. There are two of them. One's geared to trading, and the other is geared to discussion that takes place at a, it's at a very high-minded level. We've got some amazing experts in there on every subject from, let's say, lithium to 15th century Spanish armor. So we've got some great experts, and there's many actionable ideas that you can find in the trading room. A lot of things get posted and acted on, and it's a great place. So again, rickackerman.com, and just check on a free trial. You don't have to leave a credit card number or anything like that. We'll just you'll be signed up instantly.
Rick, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Jim. I appreciate your inviting me on, and for the opportunity to connect with your vast audience in the new year.
My guest has been Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks. His website, rickackerman.com. If you have any questions for Rick or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.